This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, how's that for a nice happy song for a Friday morning, huh? Do you like it? Sigala. Came here for love.
You sounds like? Very similar to my voice sometimes.
You've yeah. never sounded like that.
I think you haven't heard me at my best.
Excuse me, Ben?
I think we have.
Is there? Okay.
Sorry, Sia, I just saw something funny somewhere else.
Yeah, okay, of course. Sure. It wasn't about your voice.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Good morning. It's Friday. CliffCentral.com. We're here to take care of you through the course of your morning. Jason Goliath popping by today. It's going to be loads of fun. I don't know if you heard. You remember there was that whole thing with Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian about a month ago that we spoke about, and it was all over the news. And even people who didn't know who Blac Chyna was, even people like me who had no idea who this woman was, we suddenly had to find out who she was because she was all over our news feed. You remember? It was a big, big deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The messiness of the leaked nude pictures, the telling about this happened and that happened
Who
on Twitter.
Can keep track with all of that? But I don't know if you heard Blac Chyna's mom weighed in.
Oh, what's her name? Tokyo Toni or something.
I don't know what her name
she
is.
She's ratchet.
She is so ratchet. She went in on Caitlyn Jenner. Because apparently Caitlyn Jenner said, I don't know who Rob Kardashian. I mean, I don't know who Blac Chyna is. I've never met her.
Yeah.
So this is what Blac Chyna's mom had to say.
Hold up. Did I just wake up to some motherfucking hot, steamy, pissy, smelling tea?
Oh.
Did that motherfucking nigga, Caitlyn Jenner, a.k.a. Brucey, yeah, big balls, little dick, him, look at them motherfucking weedy shorts. This motherfucking nigga, because he's a man, dressing and pretending to be a woman, using vocal cords like, bitch, get it together.
I got to tell you, she does a pretty good Caitlyn Jenner impersonation.
So cute.
Isn't that
Tony.
Good? Do you want to hear that again? Listen to that. That's
like,
pretty good.
Bitch, get it together.
All right, so look, first of all, we can laugh at her, but if anybody else said these things about Caitlyn, they would be called transphobic and all kinds of other horrible things, right?
Well, she is a scorned mama.
I don't know how Blac Chyna's mother gets away with this. I really don't, because this is probably some of the most hateful stuff, and she's using the N-word. And by the way, is it okay for you to use the N-word on a white trans...
Yeah,
female?
I'm also confused by that because it sounds like a very derogatory general term.
No, but it doesn't sound like it's applied properly. Like, there's a very particular set of circumstances that you can use the N-word, and only black people are allowed to use it as far as I'm concerned, and she's using it, which is fine, but she's using it on a white transgender woman, which seems the one place you can't call person nigger.
I think... No, I've heard African American rappers referring to white males as niggers. I've heard them
but
do that.
But is a white female?
Well, I mean, as far as
Tokyo's concerned,
Brucey is a man. Right, as far as she's concerned.
And mind you, have you ever seen Tokyo Toni?
Hideous.
Because let me just say, you do not want to mess with Tokyo Toni. Whatever she says, she looks you like, are gonna go with. Yeah. So
She's someone's bottom bitch. You know that. All right, here we go.
Using vocal cords like, bitch, get it together. All that money you got, get a vocal coach.
Vocal coach.
Now let me finish with your motherfucking ass. How the fuck your stinking ass, nigga? Because you got a dick, nigga. You was born a man, nigga. You going down your fucking son on head and say he's stupid instead of saying something encouraging? And you gonna lie and say you don't know Blac Chyna? Nigga, you was walking around switching in the park with me there, you fucking faggot. Ooh. Call me, bitch. I got some words for your ass.
Oh, wow. All right, so there's Tokyo Toni. I don't know how Blac Chyna became a stripper with a mom like that. I mean, she should have been way more balanced. I expected her to get a PhD straight away. Wow. How do you like them apples?
I like them a lot.
You do?
It's entertaining. What else are you going to say about her?
I'm with you, but I, you know, in this world of everybody getting upset, how come she gets a free pass? I don't see how that's fair.
Ah, that's life for you. It's just not fair.
Yeah.
By the way, just a bit of a recap. Tokyo Toni has a daughter named Blac Chyna, the classiness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
who has a son named King
mm-hmm.
and a daughter named Dream. So just the classiness oozes from the names, right?
Wow.
Tokyo.
Real aristocrats.
Like China,
these people.
Dream. Yeah.
These are great people.
Standard celebrity rules right. for a ridiculous name for your children.
Jesus.
Oh, and the daughter dated a dude named Tiger. Anyway.
Tiger?
Yeah.
Of course, the rapper. Yeah, and now someone called Rob Kardashian, who's the fattest, worst Kardashian of them all. The least famous Kardashian. All right, let's go to Ryan. You know, we've often spoken to Ryan Strumrett. He's the extreme South African swimmer. And you know, he was talking to us the last time we spoke about an attempt to swim solo from Ireland to Scotland across the North Channel. Well, the last time we jokingly said, you know, he barely survived, he could have been eaten by sharks, he could have frozen to death. Well, the dude ended up in hospital. Did you hear about this, Ben?
This is the same guy that was, like, fighting jellyfish in Russia, wasn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. Ryan, are you all right?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, man. Listen, I read about you. It sounded like you were in very serious trouble on this trip.
I was, unbeknownst to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I tell you the story?
Please, I want to hear it.
Well, okay, so firstly, the North Channel is recognized as one of the toughest swims in the world, which I've been preparing for quite a while to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is you're based in Ireland, so you've got to swim from Ireland to Scotland. And you basically get 1 week, you get 1 week of standby where the tides are the right strength
mm-hmm.
to make it humanly possible to get across. So I've got this 1 week window.
Right.
And I'm on standby. And in that 1 week, I've got to pray for a nice day. That's the day that's got absolutely no wind for at least a day and a half on either side of the day that I choose to swim so that the water can settle and that the sun can come out and be on your back, because that water is very cold, about 12.5 degrees Celsius.
Ooh, okay.
And what happened, we swim only in the Speedo goggles and caps. So while I was on standby, even before I left South Africa, I could see that the weather looked terrible for the week that was allocated to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there when we arrived there, nothing had changed. It got a little bit worse. But eventually got to a situation where, which is very much part of this kind of challenge, it's pretty much go home. The weather's not going to give you a window, so it's not the challenge is not going to happen.
Right.
But unfortunately, I don't really operate like that. So that's the news I got. So I went to the team that I'd employed to help me across, and I asked them to, you know, let's make an exception and let's find a gap. I'm prepared to make an attempt in horrible conditions.
Right.
Which they strongly, to their credit, recommended again.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about it quite a lot. We looked at all the odds. We stayed up late at night and eventually deemed it safe enough to make an attempt very early on Tuesday morning, just before 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. The weather wasn't great at all. It would just make an extremely tough swim a whole lot tougher. Although I was petrified of it, to be honest, that's the kind of thing that I enjoy. So I was ready to take it on, and I got in and swam for about 5.5 hours in pretty rough waters. Enjoying it, I was handling the cold until those lion's mane jellyfish got hold of me. That made it less enjoyable.
Tell me about these jellyfish. What are they? what are they called? Limestone jellyfish.
Lion mane.
Oh, holy mother of God, that sounds horrible.
You must Google that thing. Have a look
lion
at it.
Lion mane jellyfish.
It's a jellyfish that's like the size of a car. God. And their tentacles go everywhere, and they're very hard to avoid. They either lie just low enough in the channel that you swim over them. In my case, they weren't low enough. They were a couple. Their tentacles are like meters long, and they get hold of you. It's like swimming against rope, but it really, really hurts. Anyway, that's not I was ready for that and prepared for that. And,
hold on. I just wanted to see, has just looked up one of these things.
You've got a vision.
This is horrible.
Oh, thing. This is freaky.
All right. Just to let everybody know, Sia's discovered a new fear.
I'd be one of those. I'd be like, cool, that's it. I'm done. Where's the boat? I'm going home.
All right. So now suddenly you realize you're in trouble, or are you still not aware of the danger?
I'm still swimming. What happens? You've got a support crew alongside you. You've got medical people. You've got people watching. Because obviously hypothermia kills you very quickly. excuse me, I've still got a bit of phlegm on the throat. And about 5.5 hours in, I was swimming really well until I stopped every half an hour and have a feed and get some more energy in me. And they started shouting at me that I need to increase my pace. I thought this was quite odd because I was swimming, in my opinion, quite well at that stage. But you have to hold a certain pace. You have to get to a certain point in the channel before the tide changes, the whole technical thing.
Yeah.
And so they start really pushing me, and they're counting my strokes per minute, and that was dropping. So I agreed I would speed up a little bit. And I tried, remembering that the waves are, the water's getting really rough, and I was rolling me around a little bit. And I'm drinking a lot of salt water. Every time you take a breath, there's a wave that splashes into your face.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening, I was drinking more and more. And on the next feed, you know, there's half an hour later, they were saying this is getting slower and slower. And eventually, I realized that I couldn't get air into my lungs. And I couldn't, my muscles and my arms just had absolutely no power at all. I could not propel myself forward any faster to meet their demands. And this went on for a couple of half hours. So we're about 6.5 hours into the swim. I was just short of 20 k's, just over the halfway mark.
Yeah.
And it suddenly dawned on me very quickly that I'm in real trouble. I couldn't breathe properly. So we made the decision to get out the boat. And cutting a long story short, what actually happened, I got a whole lot of water on the lungs. So, you know, when I was breathing, it sounded like I was gargling. And that caused a whole lot of concern. For me, to be honest, I wasn't that concerned because I'm not getting much oxygen to the brain. And I'm also extremely cold, 6.5 hours and 12.5 degrees. Numb your senses. But that's why you have a very good crew alongside. And they called the medics who came out in the channel and zooted me off in a very fast Zodiac. And I got in an ambulance and off I went to hospital, where I was very upset to be going to hospital because I thought I was fine. Although I could hear my own breathing was a bit weird.
Man, this...
And, they let me know that I'd watched the x-ray and they found water on the lungs, which wasn't...
Have you learned your lesson yet? Are you going to stop this ridiculous stuff now and just take up some kind of hobby like chess or knitting or something that you don't have to hurt yourself every time? I mean, Ryan, how old are you now?
Just turned 44 yesterday, yeah.
Oh, well, stop making decisions like a 15-year-old, right?
Yeah, well, I hear you. No, thanks, Dad.
Look, you are very inspiring to me because at 44 years old, to attempt things like crossing the North Channel, it's kind of, these are big goals, and you've done so many amazing things before. But when I read about this, I thought, uh-oh, you know, this guy's in real trouble. And obviously for you, it was as much of a concern, even though post that, you realize the full danger of what it happened. When you're in it, I suppose you just want to get it done, right? You're so motivated to just finish the thing.
Oh, you've got to know, Gareth, what's, you know, the stress that leads up to this. You know, I'm also run a business. I have a speaking career. I'm a single dad.
Right.
And I've been trying to put the training together for this. So, you know, for at least the 6 months building up, it's all-encompassing. And it's the most difficult of the swims out there, so it's something that I really, really, really wanted to tick off. So I'm very disappointed that this happened to me. But you know, my mind was strong and my body was strong. Technically, maybe I didn't get enough air in my lungs.
Yeah.
So there's some positives, but you know, to be honest, it is rattling. You know, 2 days later, there's a gentleman swimming the English Channel, which is a lot warmer and still a very, very difficult swim, and he passed away. So you know, he wasn't as lucky as me.
You see now,
so we know.
You say you're a single dad. How would your kids like to grow up without anybody? I mean, that's kind of it's a scary thing, man.
Well, it's a scary thing, and to be honest, it's that thing that got me out the water. Because you know, when you're in it, you know you're going to have hardships. You know you're going to have to dig absolutely everything out and push to the nth degree. But you know, those visions of my son, and you know, when you're not getting air, I just knew something was wrong. Lucky in the haze, together with the team, made the decision to abort, and according to the doctors, just in time too. So I'm grateful for that, and
yeah.
I'm certainly not a cowboy. I do a lot of preparation, and you know, consider all the dangers. It's just something that you know, that drives me. If you don't try, you don't learn. You don't grow. You know,
Ryan, I got to tell you, I mean, you continue to inspire us, and don't don't stop doing adventurous and exciting things, but can we have a little less risk and potential threat to life, if you don't mind? I mean, you know, there's a lot on the cards here, and please keep us informed of. I know there's going to be more, so you're going to tell us what you're up to next time. Let's just hope that you have more victories like you've had in the past and less of these kind of life threatening situations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for the interest. Dude. And yeah, I think maybe I should be a little more mature about these things.
Yeah, stop it.
I'm getting that a lot.
You
right
know,
now.
There's so many sedate things you could do. you could read books. You could go on kayaking trips through quiet lakes and things like that with no dangers. All right.
Yes, that sounds just what I feel like. Yeah.
Lion's mane jellyfish, for heaven's sake. All right, dude. Thanks, man.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon. Cheers. There's Ryan Strummer, an extreme South African swimmer. You don't get more extreme than that.
I think when there is a lion's mane jellyfish in the water, that's nature saying, you're
not for humans. Yeah.
It's like that's nature's landmine just bobbing around in the surf.
It is a landmine. It's a mine. It's a floating mine. It's a terrifying thing.
Watch Finding Nemo. Humans stay away from those things.
Good heavens.
But anything with extreme before it should just be a no-go.
Well, for you, Sia, certainly. I mean, when you took one look at that lion's mane jellyfish,
Is y'all ready for extreme skydiving? Even extreme painting, I'd say no to. Like,
what is extreme painting?
I don't know. Probably it's like painting.
Hanging upside down from a 12-story building.
Nope,
painting
it's painting in a room full of rattlesnakes.
All right. Okay, listen to this. You know, we often cover people with weird addictions, and there's this show called My Strange Addiction, and this is a guy who's in love with his car, and he has sex with his car. Listen to this. This is phenomenal. You just think you've got problems. You know, you think I'm a bit weird. Well, I'm telling you, don't stress. Listen to this, dude.
My name is Nathaniel. I'm 27 years old, and I'm in a serious relationship with my car.
Nathaniel is 27 and in love with his car. He's in a serious relationship with his car. The first visual you get in this video is of Nathaniel lying underneath the bonnet of his car. In other words, his legs are under the front of the car. And he's holding the bumper with both arms and he's kissing the front bumper. Kissing it with tongue.
Do we know what type she is, the car?
She is, I think she's a Ford.
Okay.
She's a red Ford.
All right.
Probably a 1990s model, by the looks of things. Listen to the kissing.
Morning, baby. Handsome man.
And it's a boy.
Oh, okay.
Nathaniel is in a committed relationship with a car that he's named Chase. Mm. He met Chase in a resale lot about 5 years ago.
Love you, baby. It was love at first sight. His body and then his interior and everything just together just seemed to fit. And I just felt an instant connection.
Nathaniel's obsession first developed as a teenager when he would build model cars. But he didn't find true love until he met...
Hey, you two, will you stop being objectophiliac phobic?
Oh!
All right.
Say that word again.
Sorry.
Say it again.
Objectophiliac phobic. Okay. All right, God damn it.
Seriously. I find this part of him the most sexy just because of the subtle lines and curves. I'll give him a kiss here.
The sexiest place on him. Sexiest place on him is on his bonnet. There are those two kind of grooves, those lines that come down towards the front. And Nathaniel is so in love with this car, man. Hang on, Ben. What's that?
We should have put a clock on this. Who can laugh the longest? Well, who can last the longest without laughing?
I'm not going to laugh. I take this very seriously. This guy
I'm also taking it seriously.
He's in a committed relationship with his car.
And it's the same sex relationship.
My initial reaction...
All right, now this is Kim. This is his roommate.
Yeah, this is where it gets weird.
Kim's roommate is the fattest woman you've ever seen. She is... her face is about 95% chin.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not making it up. You have a look at Kim. describe her a bit better so the audience can get an idea of what Kim looks like. Sia, you describe her. You'll be much more charitable than I am.
All I'm saying is there's no visible chin. It's just all one...
One big fold.
Thick.
Yeah, one thick fold.
Chunk
and
of meat.
Basically, if you took a piece of plasticine and you just made... with a pencil, you made two holes for the eyes, two holes for the nostrils, and one hole for the mouth. You'd pretty much have Kim. But you'd have to do all of those holes in a space that takes up only about an eighth of the plasticine blob. All right, you got it.
I was kind of shocked. It was kind of weird because it was just hard to understand.
I'll bet. It's amazing. Some people have been attracted to roller coasters and elevator in the Eiffel Tower. Do you remember we talked about that in the news? There was this guy who was attracted to the Eiffel Tower.
Honestly, I don't know why I feel the way I do. But I just absolutely love Chase. We always have such a good time together. He likes a lot of the same music I do. We have a favorite song. It's Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon. I do get in gifts. How you buy something for your fiance or your wife. And then usually for his birthday, I try to do something special for him too. The favorite date would be going to the lookout area.
Just lean against him a little and just be with him mainly. Love you.
But Nathaniel's relationship with Chase goes beyond dates and presents.
That's right.
We have our times when we get sexual.
Does that feel good?
Okay. Now he's rubbing the steering wheel. All right. This is where it gets a little bit freaky. So he's rubbing the steering wheel of this red Ford 1990s model. I don't know what kind of Ford it is. Ben might know.
I'm hoping at the very least it's a decent Mustang.
It's not even that sexy, Ben. It's the kind of car you would get as a rental in a shitty car rental lot.
Sorry, just to clarify, this is when you guys think it gets weird.
Now he's having in inverted commas sex with the car now. So yes,
beforehand
I think
it was fine. Now it gets weird. You know.
Love you, baby.
What we do the most often is I like to lean over his fender. And across his hood, and do little things like that, and kind of press up against him and just rub against him like that.
That's real.
One of his more bold positions is for me to be underneath him.
Underneath, that's where he gets under and he rubs his penis under the inside of the fender.
That's a bold position.
In the front. That's his bold position, all right? This is when he's taking control with Chase.
He really likes that. It's very special to make love to Chase.
I am worried for my friend, because it's not normal. And you may have people that don't understand and make fun of you.
Nathaniel's so attached to Chase, he rarely lets anyone else drive him. And never lets Chase out of his sight for more than 24 hours.
There have been times it brought tears to my eyes because I wasn't with him at work. His picture's on my desktop, so I see his face all the time. It really bothers me when he gets dinged or scratched. If something were to happen to Chase, my heart would just stop. I just have to gather myself here. I'm sorry for all that.
He starts crying, imagining that he'd be parted from Chase. There's a very evil part of me that at this point would love to drop like a piano onto Chase and just see what happens.
Oh,
I know.
You are a terrible individual.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I would be curious to see what the reaction would be from Nathaniel.
I am concerned for Nathaniel emotion-wise. I think life would be easier if he did change.
Love you.
Nathaniel's roommate, Kim, is one of the few people who know the full extent of his love life.
Poor I guess Kim. The reason...
Poor Kim. Can you imagine? She's unattractive enough as it is, and now she's living with this freak in nature. And he brings... he doesn't bring anyone home. Maybe she's got a boy. Who knows? She could have some interest. You know?
I don't think she can physically get off the couch.
It doesn't matter. The fact is, she might bring someone home, and then... As off-putting as she is, this person's broken the first hurdle, but then they have to get past Nathaniel and Chase and have to deal with that like it's a serious thing.
People, it's because I don't know the response I'm going to get. I always worry about that little bit of disgust that somebody may have.
But Nathaniel's biggest fear is how his relationship could affect his career as a customer service technician.
I mean, if everybody found out, I'd be worried that it may affect my job. But I love him to death. I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Good night, baby. Love you.
Well, there we go. That's Chase and Nathaniel. Mm. What a story, huh?
Okay.
A 21st century romance.
I have a number of questions here.
All right, go on. Let's hear these.
Now, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but it sounds to me like there's a good case to be made here of a mental condition.
Definitely.
So does a show like this, is it exploiting someone like Nathaniel? Or do you think Nathaniel loves the attention anyway? You know, right at the end, he says he's worried what his colleagues will think, but he goes on to a TV show to expose himself.
This is because Nathaniel's deranged. I mean, there's no other way to put this. He's totally deranged. The guy has no idea of what normal behavior is. Mm. He's been, for some reason, he's been accommodated by society to the point where he thinks that this is something which he needs to tell the world. And maybe the people on the show have lied to him and said, you know, Nathaniel, we're here to tell your story or whatever. But there is a point where he volunteers.
Mm. Yes.
Because you can't be on TV unless you've signed a release form. So mm-hmm. something in Nathaniel saying, I got to be out there. I've got to tell the world about this. People will accept me more if I explain my situation. And you know what? Why shouldn't we? He's deranged, but there are a lot of deranged people who pretend to be normal. He's at least pretending to be nothing but what he is. Mm.
And how does, I mean, does Chase...
Chase is the car, right?
What about consent when it comes to Chase?
Well, Chase is... let me put that... I'll just say it again in case you didn't hear me the first time. Chase is a car. It's a motherfucking car. All right? Yes, Ben?
It's easy to turn Chase on, man. you can literally turn him on every time.
Hey... Do you know what? It is all fun and games up until, Nathaniel, you get a little fuel reaction or you get your little pity winkle stuck in an air vent. I think you will change.
All right, here's some questions from the internet. Somebody says, if Chase gets taken, is it theft or kidnapping? And lol at the X-Files music playing in the background with Chase. Scary shit from Liquid Snake Ryan.
Did anyone check the boot? Chase has a boot, right?
Yeah.
And I tell you this much, this guy looks like someone who's murdered something before, whether it be a squirrel or his teacher. And you know, well, Chase told me to do it. That's going to be the thing. Let's fast forward the story 6 months' time. Well, Chase told me to kill her. Kim went missing, okay? Suddenly, Chase's suspension is screwed. But Kim's in the boot, dead.
And they did it together.
And exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen, guys.
Or rather, Chase was the one who committed the crime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, blame it on Chase.
Chase has a personality. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a rear-ending Chase has a whole different meaning in this case, says someone on the internet.
Girl. So, mechanic is a doctor. When someone bumps into Chase, it's...
Casey says, that story makes me sick. He's not crazy. He just wants the attention. Millennial bullshit it today. Master Puss, says Casey.
Sure. Very strong feelings, Casey.
What do you tell your parents?
You don't.
You don't tell anyone. No,
by the way.
No one at all.
The only reason that I kept cracking up was because I kept looking into the booth. The expressions on Amanda and Palisa's faces.
All right, what are you
They looked like they had seen something out of a horror movie. They couldn't believe what they were hearing.
Are you disturbed by this, Amanda?
So obviously I wanted to see what you were seeing.
Yeah.
So then I Googled it.
Me too.
And then some other type of shit came up. There were guys that were literally having sex with exhaust pipes.
What was your Google search? What were your keywords?
Well, I just put in
man loves car.
Guy having sex with car.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, like...
Hey, well, look, in defense, you went a bit far there. You could have just been man in relationship with the
that
car.
That guy came up, that Nathaniel guy came up with his red car, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he came up. It's on TLC, apparently. But then some other guys, like some guy in India, some guy with a Polo, a Land Rover.
This is common.
You know, like isn't it great to work in a company where we don't block any sites, so you can actually find anything you want on the internet? Wait,
hang on a second, Amanda. Are they putting like flashlights in the exhaust, or how? I tell you what, I'm not going to like study my Google search history here. You can tell me all about this.
Yeah, no, Ben, it's not right.
Are you seeing the actual member go into the exhaust pipe?
Yeah, he's just chilling. Literally, he's just.
And is he thrusting?
Yeah.
No, it's a picture, so it's still.
Man having sex with car. Look.
Hey.
It's just another step, and you've got to be careful because robots are getting more and more advanced. There is going to be a point in our future where these are going to be legitimate relationships.
Mm.
So we laugh now. One day someone will dig this tape up of us talking about this and laughing, and they'll go, what? Bigoted, backward, unevolved, stupid people those were. Gareth and Ben and Mabali and Sia and Amanda. How dare they laugh about a legitimate relationship between a man and his car?
Well, you know what? I won't be around the day when that day comes, so I'm okay.
What do you mean? It's next Tuesday.
I'll be bigoted now if that's the case.
Oh, yes.
But I'm sorry.
Mm. Well, speaking about bigotry, now back in 1992, there was a TV show. This is in 1992, and they were joking. They joke about this art class where they bring in a nude model. So this is 1992 when none of this was serious, and look at how society's changed. Just to illustrate how Chase and his car might be totally okay, and nobody will laugh about that one day. This is 1992, it's not so long ago, all right? Take a listen.
Okay, everyone, today we're going to be tackling what is one of the most fundamental, yet one of the most demanding drawing exercises that any aspiring artist may undertake. We're going to be sketching the female nude today, but I'm going to ask you not to focus on portraiture so much at this point. Just focus on lines and shadow and form, okay? Sylvia, if you'll please.
Hey.
So Sylvia, the woman, comes out, and she's in a dressing gown, and she's about to sit down naked so they can sketch a nude. And then this guy wearing a beret and with a nose ring and a chain from his nose to his ear goes, hey. This is 1992, all right? Just let's listen to this.
Hey.
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Dwyer, but I took this class to learn how to sketch, not to ogle some poor female nude.
Well, this isn't about ogling. No, we're just going to observe line and shadow and form.
And we're going to use economic repression to once again exploit a woman's body.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's what we're doing here.
No? Excuse me. Sister, are you being paid?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Well, of course she's being paid. She's a professional artist model. I see no reason why we shouldn't use her.
Use her? You, sir? You know, I wish you could hear yourself, sir. Remember, language is a virus.
Well, I certainly didn't mean to infect anyone. That's
no excuse. Sexism in any context is never appropriate.
But what about our charcoal technique?
Don't change the subject here, sir. This class is a travesty. That poor woman child is just another victim of the patriarchy.
She is?
I am.
Hate crime.
Not only that, it is also a racist construct. This woman represents the same white image of beauty that has oppressed women for centuries.
Hate crime.
Where are the nude models of color? The people of girth, the handicapable, the elderly,
the queer.
Well, I'm sorry, it's just naked, fat, black, crippled dykes are hard to find. I'm sorry I said that. I apologize.
You white male!
Stop trying to cool up my black anger!
I'm just trying to understand your black anger. Show it to me again.
Shut up!
Thank you, I understand now.
Sir, you leave me only one alternative. I must walk out and call for a boycott of your classes.
Anybody who stays is obviously a racist.
Or a homophobe.
Shut up!
Well, you know, these issues are certainly valid, and we could have a discussion. Bye. Well, okay. I assume we have serious artists left. Sylvia, if you please.
Come on, take it off, baby. Come on, take it off.
No. Come on, out. Everyone out. Come on, out of here. Out. Come on, move it. Move it out. I'm disgusted. I'm terribly... I'm so sorry. I'm Sylvia. I'm just...
That's the... I mean, isn't that an illustration of... Because that's what actually a lot of people say now. You can't make fun of that. That was 1992. They were joking. But PC culture, you could argue, has reached its apogee in the last 3 or 4 years, where that kind of conversation is a real thing to some people. Isn't it crazy?
Ah, it's crazy to some. It makes complete sense to others.
And so does Chase and Nathaniel's relationship to others. You see, this is why it's very dangerous to go down the road where you start thinking that words and terminology and political correctness deserve the same kind of treatment as actual violence or as actual aggression. And it's just, it boggles my mind when I meet people who think that way. They have no sense of humor usually. That's how you can pick them out from the crowd. They don't laugh at anything. Everything is very serious to them. All right. 25 years ago. Yeah, 25 years ago. How's that? And they were just kidding when they made that show. They had no idea of how what they were just joking about would eventually become real. So a lot of people talking about the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight.
Well, it's becoming like the presidential American thingy again.
Yeah, elections.
It's just overhyped and crap, and they're going to run out of things to say.
Well, here's an Irishman who's singing a song about Conor McGregor. Listen to this. On a ukulele.
A kid from Dublin with more than a dream. He knew one day he'd be the king of the UFC. Oh, with a group of fighting Irish not to be pushed over. Not here to take part. They were here to take over. And from the start, John Kavanagh by his side.
By the way, I don't know who John Kavanagh. I don't know anything about this because I'm not paying that close attention to this. But it sounds like much too happy a song for a fight. Huh? I'm already. It sounds like the kind of thing that you would. This is almost like a love song you'd sing on the beach to your girlfriend in Hawaii.
Well, it's becoming more of a stage show than an actual fight.
Right. Okay.
Whoever thought they'd be known worldwide after 60 G's, baby, and a contract to sign, leaving his old life and the social welfare behind. And after 2 years came the featherweight champion of the world. And Conor said he'd make him look like a little girl. It only took 10 seconds to show his talk wasn't cheap as he connected with the left and put Aldo to sleep. There's only one Conor McGregor, and there's the fighter better, and he's gonna know.
What a horrible song. Anyway, I thought I'd play that for you this morning.
I think it's like 16 days to go now until this.
Yeah.
But if they can keep the hype going for 16 more days, that'll be the achievement in itself.
All right. Very, very good. We said we were going to have a busy morning this morning, and I wasn't kidding. Who are we talking to now? See, I don't seem to see anything on here.
We have Maria on the line.
Oh, this is... Okay, this is Amanda's friend. Yeah, that's right. Amanda has a friend. Do you want to give us a little intro here, Amanda? This is your friend from... this is like a mini East Randers episode.
This is like a mini East Randers. This is Maria. She's like one of my closest friends. We actually met in like a bar, you'd call it that. She has quite a different type of voice, and she walked over and started talking to our table where
and
I was sitting.
And you guys immediately thought, this is a friend we need.
No, I just looked at her, and I was staring at her, and she's like, don't worry, baby, it's the voice, I know. And I was like, oh, God. But she's awesome.
Hey, Maria, what's up, man? Maria?
Yes, morning.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, good.
Yes, well, and you?
Good. So you're friends with Amanda. How long have you known each other?
Probably only since I breathe. It makes it sound like it's a lot longer, but it really isn't.
You do have a very unique sounding voice. Is this the result of, like, smoking a pack a day, or is there something else going on?
I'm sure it's got something to do with the Peter Stuyvesant, but otherwise, no, just naturally blessed.
I like it. I like this voice very much. All right, yes, so Maria, yes. You're also from the East Rand, but what is it you do? I mean, what's your day-to-day?
I'm a logistics broker, and the blessed life of working out of coffee shops and home. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to do any promotion, so I won't, like, mention the company name, but yeah. That is a day-to-day.
All right. That sounds exciting. What do you guys do for fun? I mean, do you go out with Amanda and the rest of them and party in the same place as she does?
Yeah, well, look, I'll pretty much go out with anyone who wants to drink, so Amanda happens to be one of those people. But yeah, just wherever, really. Keep it a lot more local. I have my regular watering holes, but yeah. Just that, and for fun, which she hates, is some pool playing. But
You play pool?
Yeah,
okay, now
I love to play pool.
I like that. It's a good way to get to meet people, right? And you meet some very different people at the pool table than you would at the bar.
And also, none of that awkward conversation face to face, like, you know, just little snippets in between while I'm beating him.
Yeah, you could be like, go, it's your turn. You don't really have to make conversation.
Absolutely.
All right.
So it's definitely a favorite pastime.
Are you in a relationship?
No, single.
Okay.
Thanks for putting that out there, Gareth.
Listen, it's a chance for you to advertise. Why the hell not? What would you be looking for in a relationship?
It's a tough question to answer. I mean, if one must be frank, I'm quite an independent girl. Mm-hmm. So, like, age 31, obviously looking for. I mean, I'm allowed to say anything I want on your ass.
You could say anything you like.
So men that aren't like pussies, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, men that are not a pussy, all right.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And, but ultimately, just someone, career-orientated, also independent would be great, you know, not living at home with their mom and stuff.
Right.
Anything
particular?
Like that,
are you looking for anything particular in terms of looks?
No, actually, I really don't have a type, if I must be frank. Tall is a definite attribute, but otherwise, not really. I stay away from certain types, but otherwise, no.
You sound like not a
bro.
Oh, right.
No,
okay, you're not into that. Okay.
No, well, 100% not.
You sound like a very independent girl who's like got her shit together, and you don't obviously take nonsense from anybody, right?
No. Also, I have 5 older brothers, so yeah. Mm.
So you can handle yourself in a fight.
100%. Yes, I can. Do some boxing at gym as well, so yes.
You sound like the kind of woman who, if you lived in America, you'd have like a corn cob pipe and very big boots.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Sort of like Nanny Yoakum. If you could look her up, you'll see what I mean. All right. I like this. So when you guys go out, are you kind of the leader of the pack, or do you hang near the back, or are you just one of the girls?
I'm more of a little bit of like a lone wolf. So I'll pretty much hover around anywhere that where there are people that I know. Mm-hmm. But at some point or other, I sort of lose the card and do my own thing, which frustrates Amanda, but it happens. It's just how it is.
So Amanda, does she disappear on her own sometimes, and then you guys can't find her?
No, I don't disappear. Maria disappears.
No, hang on. I mean, does Maria disappear and go and do her own thing?
She does, yeah, she does, but sometimes I try and say goodbye to her to tell her I'm leaving, and she's just not having it. She's like, oh, whatever. Do you do what you're doing? Like, whatever. So eventually I just leave, and then the next morning I'm like, are you okay?
Have you ever been separated from the girls and been concerned for them and their safety, Maria?
Okay, if we're being brutally honest, like, not really, no.
They can all handle themselves.
I sort of, like, hope that they're in their own way, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I do, so they should.
Sure. Ever broken a pool cue over someone's head?
No, definitely not. I don't have that anger. I've used them to poke a couple of people, but I've never really broken one.
All right. And the most interesting person you've met at the pool table recently? I mean, there must be some characters around these places you go to.
Not really. I mean, people aren't that interesting.
Do you prefer drinking to talking to people?
No. I love to talk to people. I mean, I can talk all day.
All right, but there must be some interesting ones that you've met. I mean, think about last weekend, maybe the weekend before.
Yeah, that's just to be put on the spot. I mean, not really. I mean, also I go to places where it's relatively young. I think that's just because of my age now.
Sure.
So obviously, you know, you're just meeting, lassies that are probably more nervous to speak to me than even play with me. So. Can't say that the conversation gets all too interesting.
Guys hitting on you?
No, yeah, I mean, obviously at times, yes.
What do you, how would you describe yourself? We're trying to get an idea of what you might look like, so describe yourself to us.
Okay, we're going into detail, like 174.
Right, yeah, go on.
I'm a brunette, I'm Polish,
Polish.
That's slightly like, different looking sort of features. I've got no eyebrows.
You've got no eyebrows?
They're there, but they're very faint, people don't notice those, so obviously they look natural enough. Yeah. And, very pale skinned, otherwise, it's all quite a voluptuous type body, and
All right. Amanda, do you want to add anything to that? The eyebrows, this is a very specific characteristic.
Yeah, no. But she has nice big boobs.
You have big boobs, according to Amanda.
Yes, yeah. Also, they're not... Okay, go your head there.
Of course, dude. You got to show your
They're not mine.
They're new.
They're about 3 years old now.
All right.
So I'll have those, which are... It's got a little bit of a party trick with them, but
I imagine... I can see you right now leaning over the pool table... taking one of those long shots with your boobs kind of resting on the table almost.
So now you see why they lose.
Yeah. What size are we talking about here? What kind of cup size?
Double D's.
Jesus. All right. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Very natural looking, though. I don't have that, like, you know, sure, that tennis ball look where...
No, of course.
Where it's the disgusting gap that those women get and whatever. But yeah.
No, I know what you mean. It is disgusting.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, yeah, come on. Well, right. You can see it's not natural.
What's your what's your drink of choice? Tell us what you like
double
to drink.
Double vodka lime soda.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
And how many of those can you take in a night before you start to lose control?
Yeah, probably a good, like, 7 or 8.
Gee. All right. No messing around.
It just depends just how quickly. I find that I get drunk a lot quicker, if you drink quickly. If I space them out, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could just drink for days without ever really getting drunk.
Is Amanda in your league when it comes to drinking?
What a lightweight. She's a huge lightweight.
She's a lightweight, so she can't...
100%.
Do you guys hit the shots as well, or is it just the long drinks?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to force her into the tequilas, which she has there most times.
And you mix
as long as I'm paying.
So you mix those up with the vodkas?
Say again?
You mix the shots up with the vodkas in a night?
Yeah, I try to keep it to just those two, because obviously I don't do all the little milky drinks and the strawberry lips and things like that, yeah.
Right.
Jager bombs and whatever.
That's for the amateurs. So
that's what I try to stick to. It's obviously a combination I find to work out beautifully.
Right. Now, what are your plans for this weekend?
Yeah, no, that's what I say. Like, I mean, I was prepped for this, and honestly, I don't really have a great weekend coming up. My weekends tend to be a little bit more spontaneous than anything. Yeah, so whatever comes up, I'm sure Amanda and I will be sitting at Ridgeway a little bit later.
Nice. Is that your plan, Amanda?
A couple.
That is our 3 o'clock plan.
Nice. 3 o'clock. You start that early on a Friday.
Well, last Friday was 3, and then we got there at 3, and I think I left at 10, and I left you there, so I don't know what time you left.
What time did you get out of there? Come on.
Yeah, probably when the lights came on. So I'm somewhere around there.
Jeez. You're an animal.
Yeah, no. I don't really have like an off switch. Amanda struggles with it a little bit herself.
Yep.
Once I start, pretty much, I need to pass out, I'll carry on, yes.
And what is the code in the East Rand, Amanda?
1610,
yeah.
1610 for life.
That's it.
Hail from the Vale.
But we did once have this little like East Rand moment where we went to the north and we were staying in the north.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little bit wasted, and Maria got a little bit angry with me.
What did you have to have to drag her around? What happened?
No, so I take these youngsters out, right? I for some reason decided to be driver for the evening.
Yeah.
Check us out. We tried Rockets and Bryanston there, new one.
Yeah.
And we're in there. Shame. One tequila later, Amanda's like, I'm not feeling well.
Uh-huh.
So we leave from there. We're driving, and I'm not even sure what it is that I was doing that made her want to do this. But all of a sudden, the girl starts just opening the door at every robot, stop street, every... I'm getting out, Maria. I'm getting out. So I'm like, you are not.
Oh, I hate that.
Also, it's a 2014. I mean, the hinges handling, like her like flying the door open, like all the time. And I'm sort of like skeptical at times.
Maria,
and just carry on doing it.
Isn't it the worst thing to have to look after someone who's drunk and is behaving badly when you're the driver of the car? Isn't it the worst?
I've not vouched that I will never drive a drunk again. I've told the girl that she will never ever get into my car.
Who needs these responsibilities? It's enough.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm on foreign streets and places like that I don't know. And the girl keeps doing this. But I did get some retribution because eventually I just did like sort of an emergency brake.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she hit her head on the headrest.
Casually
in the front on the dashboard. That was fun.
All right, Maria, thank you. Very nice to meet you. Come in one day and we can sit and talk to you properly.
No problem. I'll do that.
I like that voice.
I'll be remiss if I don't. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the chat, guys.
All right, Maria. Thank you.
Have a goodie.
There we go. That's Maria. What a character, huh? Amanda, that's fantastic. There's a real East Rander for you, huh? That's an interesting person you brought onto the show this morning.
Yeah, no, she's awesome.
That laugh.
Fresh air.
Yeah, I think everybody wants a picture of you with Maria tonight.
Nice little play card.
Well, and now to know that things get started at 3 p.m. on a Friday.
Yo. Day drinking.
And what time is the last drink of the weekend?
Well, I normally try and drink... Well, I try my best to only drink on one day of the weekend.
Yeah.
So if I drink tonight with Maria, like, she doesn't really give me a break. She actually, like, forces me. And she's quite intimidating. So when I say no, then she's like, did you just say no? Then I get all scared. Then I have to take the shot.
Yeah, she sounds like someone who doesn't take any nonsense.
No, not at all. So she, like, I'll normally finish by 7, then I head home. But then I just leave her there. And then I hear she landed up at Stones and landed up here and... in Boxburg, and I don't
know. It's funny, you don't go to Stones, you land up at Stones.
Nobody talks about that's where our destination is. It just, it sort of happens, there's a mystery around how it happens, but then you end up there. It's like the Twilight Zone. All right, thanks, Amanda. Wow, there's Maria. By the way, I've got a couple of messages here that I got to get to. First of all, because of Cliff Central, says John, my Google search history now ranges from lion's mane jellyfish to man has sex with car. I love it.
And that's just today's show.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, that guy who fell in love with his car, is the car a Ford Cougar, maybe? Mona Lisa says, wahaha, careful of exhaust burns. That's a special kind of special.
Mm. It's also a special kind of fuel injection.
Yeah. I hope that when Nathaniel and Chase have sex, he uses protection, says somebody else.
How and where?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. And then a bunch of other things. People get very excited for the weekend. And somebody's saying that they can't believe that someone put up Costas Semenya's name in the men's 800 meters on Supersport. How embarrassing, Supersport. That's very, very gender insensitive of you. Yeah, well, Supersport, you should be embarrassed. Because you're always trying to be so middle of the road. How could you go so bigoted in one fell swoop? Poor old Costa, hasn't she put up with enough? All right. Here's an email from somebody who, this is Jordan. Jordan says, I have a big problem, guys. These days I have too many podcasts to listen to. There's so much great content out there. In order to get through all of it, I have to listen at 2 times the normal speed. You can do this on the phone podcasts app. That means I'm used to all of you speaking much faster and with more energy. This morning I had to listen live for a change, and now my brain is broken. It sounds like you're all from a special needs school. I can't handle it. It's like that sloth from the Zootopia movie. I'll wait till the podcast is uploaded and get you guys back to your normal high energy state. Long time listener to your show. You keep me in touch with home since I moved to Toulouse in France. That's Jordan.
Ooh.
Well, I want to listen to what we sound like and double the speed. Try this out.
That'd be interesting to hear. I've never done that.
Yeah, it could be horrible, Mubs.
That's still interesting.
But how do you also... Well, I'd be interested to hear, actually. Wouldn't we sound kind of like chipmunks?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Let's see what we can do here. I'm going to go to the podcast app on my phone and just double time it.
And sidebar to lose.
Right, here it is.
Does he live his life like this with everything?
Yeah, I think so. So let's just see. Let's see what this is. This is from Jordan in Toulouse. So this is how Jordan hears us every time. All right, this is the yesterday. Is this yesterday's show? Yeah. Let me just go to some... Yeah. Try again, Amanda.
Oh, dear.
How do I do this?
It would have been nice to talk to the audio.
There.
Maybe he's talking to us in Morse code.
Yeah, maybe. By the way, guys, the entire update this morning with Adrian Bussman will be in Morse code.
Okay.
Great views. Thank you very much, Adrian. That's nice.
Important.
And I'm so glad that we all know how to decipher Morse code, because that's...
So let me tell you this while we wait for Adrian. If you're looking for a spot to host your year-end functional pride event, well, Rockets and Bryanston have been...
No... You know, when Jordan listens to this, that's going to be 4 times the speed.
Oh, that's so going to be
indecipherable. Now, we've played it at 2 times, so Jordan's going to play it at 2 times, 2 times, which is 4 times. It's going to be ridiculous.
How is Jordan's brain not exploding?
Jesus, I would go crazy.
I didn't think that's normal.
Lost in my cheek, I said, Dr. Eve, I would rather have my cock cut off than be described as woke.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. Okay, all right. So the argument was then very quickly... terminated at that stage.
Well, I thought so. Yeah. She thought it was very controversial what I was saying.
So stupid. This sounds like Heifeld. I hate that. I couldn't listen on 2 times the speed.
No.
Apparently, one of the other people who does that is Rich Mulholland. He listens on double speed.
I don't like it. I don't like that.
I
Stop it. If you're listening at double speed, stop right now. I'm embarrassed. You heard what we sound like. We sound stupid.
Also, how are you not losing some of the information in between?
Mm-hmm.
There's bound to be something that you can't hear.
And you're going to miss a lot of jokes through timing.
Horrible sound. I don't like that at all.
No.
Who sounds the worst, though? I think it's me. On double speed.
I didn't really get to hear Sia.
Mm.
Well, Nup sounds like someone from the movie Mean Girls.
He's known to us because of the Kardashians. And because Bruce Jenner, her previous incarnation, was an Olympic medalist.
I don't like this. It makes me very uncomfortable. No,
it makes me uncomfortable.
I don't want to hear it. I don't like the way I sound full stop. I really don't like the way I sound at two times the speed. There's no, like Ben says, there's no sense of timing.
Mm.
And you also don't have a tone of voice when you're listening at two times the speed. It's just rambling.
Almost seems like our accents as well have changed in the process.
Oh, it's horrible.
Put a little beat to it and I think we're good to go for a hit song, though.
I don't like that at all. All right, I got some other things we've got to get to this morning before we move on to Jason Goliath, who's joining us later. This is pretty cool. I might play the whole song.
Mm.
Money for Nothing. Now, you know the song, the original's Dire Straits, right? So Mark Knopfler. And in this version, he's got Eric Clapton and Sting and Phil Collins. That's like a... You don't get... From a guitar point of view, and then Phil Collins. I mean, this is unbelievable. So Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits, Eric Clapton, ex of Cream, and then obviously a solo artist in his own right, Sting, Police, and then Sting solo, and Phil Collins, who used to be in Genesis, and then went on to have an extraordinary solo career too. I mean, this is one hell of a performance. I wish I'd seen this. Listen to this. That's Mark Knopfler on lead guitar. Phil's on the drums. Unbelievable. This thing. So we get to mix. Well, let me tell you, them guys ain't so low. You let me get a pistol on your little finger. Let me get a pistol on your thumb. Touch you in song like a rubber. What's the kitchen delivery? We got the moving refrigerator. Got to do these colors. Oh, Sting, wow. She's a little maggot, got the beauty, got the makeup on, I'll tell you, buddy, that's his own hair. That little mother got his own daddy play. Little mother trucker, he's a millionaire. He got the mints on microwave. Got some kitchen delivery. We have a movie. To have those four musicians on the stage all together, it's spectacular. And by the way, in this performance, I don't even know where this was recorded, but they had a full symphony orchestra, a choir. I mean, what a show. It's got to be one of the greatest concerts of all time. I can't believe I never heard of it before now.
When was this? Do we know?
Jeez, I wish I could figure it out. Someone just posted it on Facebook. And I saw it last night, made a note. But I don't know anything about this show. If you do, then email me. Or WhatsApp us, 0797482090. Unbelievable.
Because Sting has been quiet, actually.
He has.
When you really think about it.
Well, he's got this great life. You know, he lives in New York. He performs every now and then. He doesn't need the money. made a ton of money. And
that's why he can afford to have 7-hour sex sessions.
He does. He has. He's big on that tantric sex. Now that's something.
I could think. I told you, I saw like nothing worse though.
Well, what you think is terrible is what most of humanity loves. Roger from
7 hours.
American Dad. Yeah.
Aren't you cramping and? I need to breathe, and I got things to do. I can't breathe.
Yeah, you've got to tone down the anxiety, man.
No.
Tantric sex is all about relaxing and
focusing
on each other's energies, and it's meant to be this marathon. Listen, I told you I went to I stayed in an apartment in New York, and Sting lives in that building,
mm-hmm.
and I went down to the gym, and I was watching Trudy, well, I wasn't watching, I was some kind of pervert.
No, yeah.
I was in the gym, and Trudy Styler, Sting's wife, was busy on those, you know those Bosu balls that you have?
Yep.
She was doing some serious exercises, man.
So tell you what,
that woman is in unbelievable shape, and then Sting comes down, and he was sitting on the rowing machine next to me. Sting!
That is crazy.
I have to pinch myself. I'm right next to Sting. He goes, hey. So I go, hey.
Just like squeak out.
And then you were like, can I spot you, bro? And he's like, I'm on a rowing machine.
No, I didn't say anything else. I didn't want to be an idiot. I try really hard. It's hard enough because I feel like an idiot most of the time, even though I haven't said anything. I'm going to say anything to Sting. I'm going to tell him, hey, I really like your music. I'm from South Africa. I don't want to bother the guy. He's in the gym.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
65 years old now.
65. Mm. Sting is or Trudy Styler?
Sting is 65, Trudy 63.
Jesus. Those two are in their 60s. They look better than people I know in their 20s.
Yeah.
And they're having 7-hour sex sessions? Ugh.
When do you get time to run your errands? Oh, sorry.
Please, who cares? You can keep it going for 7 hours. You have other people doing your errands.
Yeah, Sting hires people to run errands for him.
The one thing you can't outsource is sex with your wife.
Oh, true. That's up amazing. Until the robots come to play.
That's amazing. Excuse what a pun. Guy. Sure. Sting. Eric Clapton. Phil Collins. Mark Knopfler. What a lineup. Unreal. And then someone sent me this. I don't know if we're going to have time this morning for the lyrics game. And we may have to postpone that to Monday. But here's something interesting. This is why modern pop music is so terrible. look, there are different opinions on this. I don't think all modern pop music is so terrible. That's not how I feel about music.
Ben?
I think there's a lot of good music now. So I'm not one of those people who thinks all modern music is
such. I agree, Gareth. The moment you steal a sample, you can create some great stuff.
Yeah. Listen to this guy.
Trend with modern pop music that the researchers found within their data. Instead of experimenting with different musical techniques and instruments, the vast majority of pop today is built using the exact same combination of a keyboard, a drum machine, sampler, and computer software. This might be considered as progressive by some people. But in truth, it sucks the creativity and originality out of music, making everything sound somewhat similar. Do you ever flick through the radio and think to yourself, all these songs sound the same?
Yeah.
Well, what the researchers found is that the melodies, rhythms, and even the vocals of popular music have become more and more similar to each other since the 60s. One facet of this homogenization of popular music was pointed out by musical blogger Patrick Metzger. Metzger noticed that hundreds of pop artists were using the exact same sequence of notes, in which there's a shift from the fifth note in a scale to the third note, and then back to the fifth. This sequence of notes is usually accompanied by a vocal wah-oh-wah-oh pattern. Metzger named this the millennial whoop, and it sounds like this.
Wah-oh-wah-oh. Whoa, whoa.
In the shadow.
The millennial whoop can be found in hundreds of chart-topping pop songs created over the past few years, and its usage is becoming more frequent all the time, from Katy Perry's California Girls to Justin Bieber's Baby. Literally every single major pop star today has included the millennial whoop in at least one of their songs.
Right.
But why? Well, quite simply, familiarity. Our brain likes familiarity. The more we hear the same sounds, the more we enjoy them. The millennial whoop has become a powerful, unpredictable way to subconsciously say to the masses, hey, listen to this new song, it's really cool. But don't worry, you will like it because it's also really familiar.
Huh.
Because you've actually heard it hundreds of times before. And in this wildly unpredictable world, this makes us feel safe. Sticking to the same cookie-cutter formula comforts people. And that's important.
Whoa, whoa, that's the sound.
Huh.
Whoa, ooh, California girls, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Right? What else have we got? You said Justin Bieber. So we got, baby, alright, so that's going for, yeah, I think he's onto something.
It's always a good time, yeah,
right? Uh-huh.
But what about lyrics? Well, I'm afraid it's bad news there, too. Another study examined the so-called lyric intelligence of hundreds of Billboard chart-topping songs over the past 10 years.
Uh-oh.
They use different metrics, such as the Fletcher-Kincaid Readability Index, which indicates how difficult a piece of text is to understand and the quality of the writing. This was the result. Over the past 10 years, the average lyric intelligence has dropped by a full grade.
Oh. Bitch, sit down, be humble.
Yes, Benjamin, yes.
Lyrics are also getting shorter and tend to repeat the same words more often. We've gone from the absolute poetic beauty of Bob Dylan and Morrissey to, well, this.
Woo, 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 woo.
And this.
Who run the world?
What if I also told you that the vast majority of chart-topping music in the past 20 years was written by just two people?
Wow.
What do Britney Spears, Taylor Swift, Ellie Goulding, Robin Thicke, Jessie J, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Ariana Grande, Justin Timberlake, Maroon 5, Pink, Leona Lewis, Avril Lavigne, Christina Aguilera, Kesha, The Backstreet Boys, Westlife, NSYNC, Adam Lambert, and Will.i.am all have in common?
Anybody want to guess?
Please don't tell me they all have the same songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
The answer, their songwriter.
Oh,
I'm not saying.
Wow. Yeah, there we go.
All of them.
All of.
100% of their songs, but a good chunk of all these artists' songs were written by the same Swedish
Max Martin.
Yep. A Mr. Max Martin.
Mm.
This one man is single-handedly responsible for over 24 number one singles and thousands of songs in the top 100 charts over the past decades. He has written universally recognisable tracks such as I Kissed a Girl, Baby One More Time, Since You Been Gone, California Girls, Shake It Off, and so, so many more. Hmm. And if Max Martin didn't write it, then American singer-songwriter Lucas Gottwald most probably did. Known professionally as Dr. Luke, together with Max Martin, they account for the lyrics and melodies behind the vast majority of pop music today.
Mm. Wow, you've how likely do you like that, huh? How do you like that you've been duped?
Yeah, look.
Dummy.
It is what it is. And kudos to these two for figuring out the winning formula and yes. for profiting off of it.
And now, can you imagine the profit?
Think about this. We often talk about the fact that Jennifer Rush is mm-hmm. single-handedly just living off Power of Love. Now, well, multiply. Yeah, give or take, she is.
She's all right. Yeah.
Think of Max Martin and all of these songs. He is chinchilling right now.
I can't play the whole thing, but just for 2016, last year, Max Martin's songs on the top 100. Sorry, this is not for 2016. This was published in 2016. So this is one of his. Listen to this. You remember that? NSYNC. Right? You don't want to lose it. I remember this. What do you got next, Max Martin? Come on, bring it on.
Ooh.
There's that millennial whoop. Mabel is about to throw up from your singing, Sia. Please, can we stop your singing?
Okay, I'm in the corner now.
She's getting so carried away, he's spoiling the songs for everybody. By the way, that one was written by Dr. Luke and Max Martin.
Ah, these two also collaborate.
Yeah, that's when you get totally blown away. You hear a song and you're like, wow. I love this, though. This is the intelligence behind music that nobody pays attention to, because we focus on the feelings, right? And we all love what a song makes us feel. And this, we're being taken for a ride.
Gareth, is this more White Monopoly Capital again?
Yes.
We are being manipulated.
By Max Martin and Dr. Luke.
How this 46-year-old in Max Martin's case writes like a 12-year-old girl,
he
I have no idea.
He must have children in his basement, and he just pulls it from the fridge. Come on, he's Swedish. These
wait,
people
there's
have
more. Another great song. Amazing. He does seem to like certain artists. I mean, Britney's in there a lot, Katy Perry, Pink. It shows you how vacuous Katy Perry must be, that she hasn't written a goddamn hit song that she's got.
But now, Dr. Luke, isn't he the one that held Kesha like hostage, or basically that she's in his basement?
Really?
Oh, is that the same guy?
Well, there was that,
good for him. If he could please take her back into the basement, we would all be very relieved.
Because there was that whole thing about Kesha being tied to her label and tied to this whole... Was he the guy?
Well,
yes.
It was. It was him.
Yes. There's my theory again. Max Martin's got people in his basement. Come on, guys.
Basically.
This is like an episode of Rick and Morty. It really is.
There isn't one Katy Perry song that she has written without Dr. Luke and Max Martin. It's unbelievable. I mean, if Max Martin and Dr. Luke were in a car accident, Katy Perry's life would deteriorate and spiral out of control. Overnight, she'd become a drug addict and live under a bridge. Right?
Overnight.
Overnight, Katy Perry would be homeless. Even Maroon 5. Max Martin wrote this song. Wow, Taylor Swift's in there too.
That is actually such an annoying sound.
I know.
I'll never, ever, ever get it back together. Fuck, it's actually so annoying.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But it's the anthem of so many chicks.
Now, just remember, every time you hear these songs, whether it's in an ad or whether it's on the radio, whether it's on TV or whether it's in your phone or whatever it is, this Max Martin is coining it.
Yo.
He gets like 30% of every sale.
Yeah, that's...
And every time it's performed. I mean, he must be a billionaire, right?
And he's Swedish, right? So he's obviously come from someone in ABBA's ballsack. Because ABBA invented pop music. We've already established this. That Benny guy, long hair, look at Max Martin. Look
wow,
at
Ben.
Look at Benny from ABBA and this guy. Tell me there wasn't some sort of DNA involved here.
Sure. Ben's not wrong. It's entirely possible. Benny or Bjorn must have fathered Max Martin at some point.
Yeah. There's no going back.
Another stupid song. There's another great lyric. The haters gonna hate, 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 hate. Players gonna play, 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 play.
Yeah, shame. We're being taken for a ride. Yes, we are being taken for a ride.
There we go. If you felt stupid before, now you should feel even more stupid. Oh. It's 12 after 8. We've got to get to our guest for this morning. I'm very happy to have Jason Goliath here. He's outside. He's looking very svelte and full of the joys of winter. I wish I could say spring. But he'll be joining us in a short moment or two, and we'll spend a bit of time talking crap with him, which is always fun. He makes my Friday a little bit better. That's why we got him in here, because we all need, in this week of no confidence motions and so on, to be picked up and taken somewhere positive and happy. Plus, I mean, you know, when you talk about Goliath and 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 Goliath, it's really, it's you're talking about a multi-million rand empire of comedy. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, among other things. What's that, Ben? Have you got a picture of Benny Anderson?
Okay, so here's a picture of Max Martin, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give us the Dory to put up.
Yeah, we'll put this up on our Instagram if you can't follow right now. A lot of people listen to podcasts. They'll be ready for you later.
And here's a picture of Benny from ABBA.
Right. Same it's definitely his love child.
Now, so
the only question is, did he have that child, Max Martin, with Agneta Feldskog or Annefrid?
You know, when you pronounce those names, it sounds like you hit a speed hump in your throat.
Yes. Jesus, I think I just clicked my jaw. I'm not even kidding. Agneta Feldskog.
That's it.
Oh, what was the other one?
Annefrid. I can't remember her surname. But they did. They married Benny. Benny married Annefrid.
Yeah, the talented one.
Well, they were both talented, Ben. How dare you?
Well,
all four of those. Listen, those four in ABBA were very talented people. Don't spread lies.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest.
Agneta was very talented.
But the blonde woman, she held it all together.
Agneta.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then Annefrid's the dark-haired one who actually, I think, had the better voice.
There's about to be a showdown over ABBA.
We're going
to
have this argument this week. We will resume this conversation on Monday. We don't have time. I've got Jason fucking Goliath sitting outside. Ben, I'm not going to start arguing with you now.
Look, I'm all for ABBA week. Let's do it.
You've been back for one day and now we're arguing
week.
Already.
Well, it deserves a month, yeah, but yes, we'll have a week.
All right. So we will pick this up on Monday. All right, Ben? It's all on. It's unlike Donkey Kong.
I just think that all my theories are correct, and you guys still question me on the Will Smith one.
How dare we? You know?
Everybody in the studio who's tired of Ben mewling and moaning, put your hands up right now. Come on. Put them up. Don't be afraid. Mabali, yeah. Amanda.
As I single-handedly enlighten you to ways of the world.
All right. Here's Calvin Harris. Who knows? This is probably written by Max Martin as well. We know. Love this song. Next up, Jason Goliath. Get ready.
This is CliffCentral.com.